Now, the All Blacks wouldn't be the favourites at the moment, given their comprehensive, more than comprehensive, win over Ireland on Saturday, 42-19. But nonetheless, we bring you next a story that has a very strong All Blacks connection to Kerry and the Kingdom. I caught up with Professor Peter O'Connor of Auckland University, who is one of the who's an international educational expert. He was visiting Castle Island because he has very strong connections to the area. His ancestor was the first Castle Island All Black, Timmy Behan O'Connor from Kilcushnan, a townland, I think, between Castle Island and Cordell. Peter talks about that a bit in our interview. And we also talked about his work as an educational expert, the work he does at Auckland University, and some of the resources he has developed to help children going through crises, such as the Christchurch earthquakes in New Zealand a number of years ago, and a crisis that affects practically every child globally, the pandemic and the response to the pandemic and how the pandemic impacted and affected education. But first of all, I spoke to him about his links to Castle Island, to Cordell. He told me a bit about that and his ancestor, Castle Island, the first Castle Island All Black, Timmy Behan O'Connor, from the townland of Kilcushnan.
I came to Castle Island to honour my great uncle, Timothy Behan O'Connor, who was the first Irish All Black. And so he was born in Kilcushnan, and he was my great uncle. My great grandfather, Patrick, and my grandfather, Morris, they're buried at home in Auckland. And I always feel when I come back to Kerry, I bring them home as well. You know, when someone dies, they die twice. They die when they die, but they die again, I think, when their names are forgotten. And their names are forgotten because they left here a long time ago. But I bring their names back.
And when did they leave Kerry?
And their names spoken today. Oh, they left Kerry in 1870, a long time back, 150 years. So it's extraordinary to bring them back and to have their names on the radio today.
Is this your first visit to Castle Island, to Kilcushnan?
No, I've been here maybe a dozen times over the... maybe up to 10 times, I think, over the years. And coming back, there's nothing quite like the view from Gloontaroon as you look down onto Castle Island and out to Kilcushnan and, you know, right out to the McKillicuddy Reeks. I mean, it's possibly, I think, one of the best views in the world. I love it up the top there, and looking down on the valley, it's something else. Every time you look out over the out from the view there, it's a completely different view. You see something new and wonderful every time. There's something magical about Kerry, isn't there, I think, for anyone who claims the heritage is from there, and you stand and look out from that view, it's extraordinary.
And Gloontaroon is on the road between Castle Island and Abbey Field, so well worth stopping over. And you think what? And you said they're one of the great viewing points in the world.
Absolutely, and I've travelled a great numbers of countries in the world, and I think that's absolutely one of the most priceless views there is. You can see the whole, it feels like you can see the whole of the kingdom. You can see the whole of Kerry from up there. It's absolutely extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. And then, of course, you can see the town of Castle Island and the valley itself.
Tell us a little bit more about your ancestor, the first Castle Island All Black, Timmy Behan O'Connor from Kilcushnan. Tell us a bit more about him.
He played in the very first All Black team that played 7 games against... they went to Australia in 1886. And in those days, you know, the All Blacks now wear a black jersey. And the very first All Blacks, it was a blue jersey. And instead of a silver fern, they had a gold fern. And he played all games. He was also the captain of the Auckland team that scored the very first point ever for the Auckland team. And he beat the touring British team and scored the winning try there. He was a... They said he was a very big man, and he could drop goals from the halfway line. He was quite an extraordinary man. And the other thing he did, like many of the O'Connors when they went to Auckland, he ran pubs. At one point, I think they must have had nearly a dozen pubs throughout the town. He, like many of his family who came across, set up extraordinary lives for himself, his children, and his grandchildren, as did my great-grandfather, who came and set us up beautifully in a new world.
And I'm sure the case with your great-grandfather and with Timmy, whom you spoke about there, I'm sure once they left Kerry in the 19th century, at the end of the 19th century, they never came back. They never came home. They never came back to Kilcushnan. They never came back to Castle Island.
No, but I bring them back. And I bring them back when we talk together this afternoon. That's how they get to come back, I always feel. And, you know, it's when I've been sitting with the cousins and so forth in Kilcushnan and talking about them and reconnecting them back to here. It's a really important thing to do. You know, I think a lot of Irish think, you know, the children of the diaspora come back to claim something. But we do that, but we also come back and bring something back with us. And we bring the past back with us. And it's a real honour and a privilege for me to do that for my ancestors, to bring them home.
That's a marvellous thing to say. Absolutely marvellous, Peter. So when you come back to Kerry, you're carrying your great-grandfather, your grandfather, you're carrying Timmy Behan O'Connor, the first Castle Island All Black, and your other ancestors who left Kerry for New Zealand and never came home. You're bringing them home with you.
Absolutely, they're with me. You know, we have the sense the dead never leave us, really. They're always part of who we are. They make us who we are. So to bring them home, you know, they say that they had funerals for them when they left because they knew that they'd never come back and they'd never be seen again. So, yes, absolutely. They're home and we're talking about them on the radio. So that's a great thing. It's a great honour to them for that to happen.
May I ask you, where in Castle Island is Kilcushnan? Because everybody will be dying to know where this townland is. Is it a townland?
It's out towards Cawdle. It's only 5 or 6 kilometres or 5 or 6 miles from the town itself of Castle Island.
And tell us a little bit about your work, Peter. You're a professor at Auckland University and you've advised both the Department of Education in New Zealand and indeed in Ireland. Tell us some of what you do.
So I'm a professor of education and my main interest over the last 10 to 15 years has been working with children who've been affected deeply by trauma. And that's the trauma of earthquakes, of disasters, of all sorts of different things which have upended their lives. And I've developed a way of working and researching that where we use the arts to help children make sense of the world again after it's been tipped upside down for them. And so a lot of our work in the last 2 years has been about the impact of COVID on the mental health of children. And that we have a real understanding that COVID's impacted not just the physical health or the emotional or the financial well-being of countries, but has made huge, it's had huge impacts on levels of anxiety and depression and those sorts of things for young children. And that's what we've worked out, I think, through the work that I've done in the university, which is part of national and international projects, that schools can play in them incredibly important role in helping children to reconnect to the world, especially after physical and social distancing, and find ways through the arts to express their fears, their worries and their concerns. And one of the really good things about the New Zealand response to COVID in terms of our education policy is that we've focused, rather than on academic achievement in the last year, we're focused on children well-being and especially children's mental health and how we can assist them in the schools. And I think that's a hugely important thing for schools to be doing. we created an international website called Te Rito Toi, and that's been downloaded nearly 500,000 times in 140 countries around the world. And that's where teachers and principals and education departments have said, what we need to be doing now is focusing on children's well-being, not just their literacy and numeracy.
Te Rito Toi.
Helping them to make sense of things.
Te Rito Toi, if you could spell if you could spell that for us so that people could look at it, could check it up, because what you're saying is really important and really of value, because the focus here in Ireland, the media discourse, we're to blame as well as much as any other group with the impact of COVID-19 on education. There was a big focus on state examinations and the impact the pandemic had on that. But you're saying long term, a better approach for children's well-being is simply that, to focus on nurturing their mental health.
Absolutely. So Te Rito Toi, T-E-R-I-T-O-T-O-I, it's a Māori word for nurturing the well-being of people through the arts. So one of the things, and I spent a lot of time in schools after the Christchurch earthquakes working with children, and what we learned doing that work was that focusing on exams, focusing on catching up on lost learning is a lost opportunity. What you really need to do is to catch up on relationships, catch up on feeling good about yourself, catch up on feeling good about being with other people. You know, the world's gone through an enormous trauma and is still going through an enormous trauma. Pretending it's not happening in schools and focusing on academic results, all the research tells you or tells us it's the completely wrong way to be working. And we were really lucky, I think, in New Zealand in that we'd had the earthquakes, we'd had the terror attacks, we'd had a whole range of things which had happened, and the university was able to convince the ministers of education in New Zealand that the best approach was to focus on well-being. Now, here's the thing that's really interesting as well, and we learnt that in Christchurch, was that after all those enormous earthquakes, schools focused on well-being and academic results went up. It's not an either-or. You know, that actually if you get the well-being right, the learning will then happen. And what I find so tragic around the world is that schools reopened everywhere as if COVID had never happened. And young people need the opportunity to make sense of the world, not just to prepare for work.
Te Rito Toi, so if people Google that, they should find the website, and that's T-E-R-I-T-O-T-O-I, three different words. We'll put up a link on Radio Kerry's social media. But if they Google that, they'll be able to,
lovely.
And they'll be able to find the online resource to support the return to schools during COVID-19 through using arts and a well-being approach. And now I know schools are on holidays now, but I'm sure parents and guardians can still look at the website and maybe find things of interest to them.
Yes, and you know, COVID hasn't gone away yet.
No.
The other thing about the resource is that what we did was we changed it in the last 6 to 8 months. We've changed it, so it's actually available after any trauma. We live in a world of constant trauma. You know, you think of how worried are children about the Ukraine? We kind of think that only adults are. But all those conversations that young ones hear about how the world's tipped upside down and the climate crisis, all those kinds of things, they layer in levels and levels of trauma. And there's this extraordinarily wonderful place that kids go to, which are schools where if they have caring, loving teachers, they can help make sense of some of that with them. And that, I think, is more important than any examination result. Examination results don't provide any clue to how successful you'll be in life. Schools need to focus first and foremost on the really important things, which is relationships, how you feel about yourself and how you feel about others. So that's the work that we're doing in Auckland.
Wonderful. Peter, thank you so much for talking to me. It was so lovely to speak to you, a real privilege.